Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Drupalize Me. Become a Drupal super genius from the convenience of your own living room. Lullabot's extensive Drupal training library contains almost 200 hours of streaming video, including in-depth classes on subjects such as CCK, Views, Drupal theming, jQuery and JavaScript, Drupal performance and scalability, and new Drupal 7 specific videos being released every month. Get immediate access to the entire library when you become a member. For more information, visit drupalize.me today. Go, Drupalize yourself.
My name is Brian House. I'm VP of Marketing at Acquia. And we're talking about a few things here. So today I did a presentation on competing with giants, which was really kind of setting the market and the context for how Drupal competes in the enterprise and how enterprise decision makers really sort of think about what Drupal is and how it compares to other alternatives they have, proprietary systems, you know, and how they go through that process.
Cool. So what are some of the metrics or things that you're tracking when you're looking at how is Drupal perceived within the sort of enterprise world?
Sure. So, you know, one of the big pieces of my job is talking to the analyst community about Drupal and getting it on their radar so that when organizations, larger organizations, call them and make inquiries about Drupal, they understand what the technology does, they understand sort of what the ecosystem looked like, and they can speak intelligently about that to their customers. I mean, I actually had somebody right out of the presentation I did today come up to me. They're a very large Drupal site. They're a media company. They have a lot of their live blogs on Drupal, and they're considering even making greater investment in that. So the individual who is responsible for the Drupal sites, he's working with his boss trying to sell Drupal with inside the organization. And this is a very typical use case because the first thing his boss said to him when they started talking about Drupal and whether they want to make a deeper investment was, well, let's call Gartner and see what Gartner thinks. And so they called Gartner Research, they talked to someone there. It was interesting because it was a name that I didn't recognize, and we talked to a number of analysts there. And the analysts didn't know enough about Drupal to really comment on it effectively. So that immediately puts the Drupal advocate at this organization in kind of a defensive position, because why doesn't this analyst understand the technology? So a large part of what I do at Acquia is to educate the analysts so they understand, so they can speak intelligently and they can make comparisons and recommendations, at least the things to consider when you consider Drupal and whether or not if you're going to make a large investment, you know, more than, you know, I'm not talking 20 or 50,000, I'm talking 100,000, 250,000, 500,000, or even $1 million investment in Drupal. Can you do so confidently and have the backing of these people that are serve as maybe not opinion leaders, but validation that the technology is real and that you're not going to make a mistake in making that large of an investment in Drupal?
Well, there does seem to be this like outsourced like authority into this analyst community. So what does that community look like? What's the landscape and who are the big top firms that you have to kind of like deal with and make sure they're kind of up to speed on everything that's going on in Drupal?
Sure. So, I mean, the two most important ones are Gartner Research and Forrester Research. They by far cover, you know, what I described in my presentation was the Global 10,000. These are organizations that are larger than 2,500 employees and more than $500 million in annual revenue. And almost across the board, these organizations count on firms like Gartner and Research to help them make IT decisions. You know, they invest in hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in IT, and so they look for validation. Another big firm in this space is the Real Story Group. They're formerly known as CMS Watch, and they have very strong analysts. And so they, you know, these are probably the top three firms. We also talk to people like IDC, Altimeter Group, a number of other firms that are smaller in the space. But what I see happens a lot is the example I just described, where there's a champion for a particular technology, in this case Drupal, and then they need to go sell it into finance, they need to go sell it into the business, they may need to go sell it into higher-ups inside their own IT organization. And so in building the case to them and why they should invest in that, they need that third-party outside validation. You know, the analyst firms, it's not a perfect process. It's flawed. It's very much backward-looking. Very rarely do I find them as defining new markets, but they're really good at looking the way markets have been in the past. You know, so as long as you understand the flaws, they're at least there to help you make decisions and provide validation that this is a proven technology. And so the biggest thing that Drupal needs, in my opinion, this is what I talked about in the session, was people who've built large sites, people who have made large investments, talking to the analyst directly. Because ultimately it depends on the inquiries, the phone calls in, that's what gets things on their radar and gets them interested in learning more. Then they reach out and they're more proactive rather than being reactive. And right now we're early in our maturation in this market, and certainly with this level and size of company. And so because it's so early, they're still being reactive. They're still, you know, here and there, and you know, but they're not reaching out and they're not proactively trying to learn more and understand what organizations are doing about Drupal. And so the more we can do to change that, the more Drupal is going to be an easier sell into large organizations.
And so what are some metrics that you sort of use internally for you to see, like, this is how well we're doing and track that over time? Like, how would you even describe the rankings or whatever types of where Drupal is positioned in certain graphs or, you know, trade-offs in that way?
Sure. I mean, you know, the most obvious ones are things like Magic Quadrants, which is a framework that Gartner uses to evaluate market spaces. Forrester uses Waves, which is what they call them. So placement in those is important. You know, for instance, Drupal has made the Magic Quadrant for Gartner in the social software category for both internal and external community software, essentially, but hasn't made it for web content management. But you think about, you know, the scale and size of sites for web content management, it's a shame, frankly. It's a travesty, in my opinion, that Drupal's not there. And, you know, I know some of the vendors that are there that have little, if any, resources in there, and they still show up in the Magic Quadrant. So those are critical. The other piece is analyst mentions. Analysts blog, analysts write reports, they write all the time. So the more times analysts respond and write about Drupal, you know, those are more pieces that, you know, that we track and cover internally and, you know, help build the story. And then ultimately, what I'd like to get to is they're calling us. You know, it hasn't happened yet, but I think when they start to reach out to people in the Drupal community, whether they're at Acquia or other folks, say, hey, I've got a client, and I've seen this in my past lives, I've got a client who's asking me about this. What can you tell me about this? Because I need to give them an informed opinion. That's when we know we've sort of crossed this threshold and we're on the right side of the equation, and it's much more a positive thing for the growth of Drupal overall.
So it sounds like your session at DrupalCon was probably filled with a lot of people who are decision makers or have to kind of like sell Drupal to different people. So what kind of like information, data, statistics, or knowledge were you trying to pass on to them in your session so they can kind of like carry that on and help spread Drupal?
Sure. So there was two primary things that I really tried to focus on there. One was really giving them an overview of the landscape. So for people who have not looked at all of the research firms, here's what the analysts are saying, here's how they define our markets, and here's where Drupal is showing up and what they're saying, and here's where Drupal's not showing up. And so that was really the first third of the presentation. The last thing I did was I walked through a number of case studies where we've been in talking to senior level decision makers, whether they be on the IT side or the business side, about their decision-making process and some successes where they chose Drupal, and then in some cases they killed a project that was not going to meet their needs, or they chose Drupal over a different project, or they migrated to Drupal from another technology, as well as some failures where, you know, they really wanted to make a migration, but some of the traps that you fall into. For instance, one organization had made a large capital expenditure that impacted their balance sheet in a proprietary system. And so they wanted to switch. They had an inflection point that came up because of a migration, but at the end of the day, they couldn't because they were still in the middle of their amortization schedule. So I know this is a little balance sheet sort of technical oriented, but the point is that decisions organizations make when they make investments of this size impact their business for 3 to 5 years. So they have to be very, very smart. And so by setting the context and then talking about some real world examples about decisions, the hope was to help educate the decision makers in the room as well as the people who are talking to decision makers, help them think about what the business case they need to build so that way they make the right decision the first time.
What are some of the reasons why Drupal is not adopted? What is kind of like holding Drupal back?
You know, I think the most consistent thing that we've heard is you typically have two decision influencers in an organization. There's the technical side of the house, and then there's the marketing or the content owner side of the house, and it typically falls in the marketing group. You know, with Drupal, and we've heard this from customers, and frankly, we hear this from the analyst community as well, on the technical side, performs very, very well. It fits into forward-looking IT organizations. They understand what it does, and they like it architecturally. But where it falls down is more on the content owner, content contributor side, which is typically in marketing. And there really is, there's two reasons for that. One is marketing is incredibly skeptical of what IT brings to the table. So when IT introduces a solution, you know, you're immediately starting at a deficit. And so how do you overcome that? It becomes a critical piece for the IT organization in terms of how do we get marketing on our side? How do we deliver wins so that way they trust us? We do this. The New York Stock Exchange is a great example. They had a long project. They decided to end it before they even launched on a proprietary system, switched to Drupal, and then started delivering smaller sites quickly to build that confidence from the business owners so that way they can make a deeper investment in Drupal. And that's really, really critical. The second area where we see Drupal fall down and lose is, frankly, against proprietary systems, is around the user experience, particularly for content contributors. You know, proprietary vendors do very well at creating slick, attractive demos of their products that really sell to the content contributors. And so, you know, oftentimes, I mean, we see this a lot. A lot of Drupal shops have their own admin interface that they do for Drupal. They make tweaks to it, they simplify it. There's a million ways to do it. And every site looks different on the back end. And so because of that, the content contributors get turned off very easily. So, you know, I've probably heard this a dozen times, if not more, where, well, we showed it, IT really liked it, but the users just didn't feel comfortable with it. And they liked Sitecore, they liked Tridion, you know, name your system, it doesn't really matter. And so I think if we can, as a community, nail that and really create it an easy way for content contributors, non-technical users, to own the content on their site, that ends up being a huge opportunity for us to win over the business users who are ultimately have to buy into the system.
And a significant portion of Acquia's employees are sales and marketing, at least a quarter, according to Tom Erickson. And so, first of all, what are these employees doing in their job as sales and marketing? Because a lot of Acquia's sales and marketing team is bigger than most Drupal shops. So what is this sort of army of sales and marketing people doing?
That's a great question. So on the sales side, our sales team is talking to Drupal developers, Drupal site owners, every day. You know, they're on the phones, and you know, and what they're doing is they're talking to leads that come in, people who attend webinars, understanding what projects they're doing, what are they working on, and if there's a role for Acquia to help. So we have a very active sales organization. They're on the phones every day, and they're talking to people about their projects. On the marketing side, I've got a number of product marketing managers that are talking about our products, and this has been a big area for me, because as we build our product portfolio, you need to have experts who really can tell the story of that product out to the market and do it in a compelling way, as well as people that are, you know, managing our websites, managing our back-end systems like Salesforce and our marketing automation systems, managing things like SEO, you know, creating landing pages, creating content for the website, as well as doing PR. So, you know, we've built a pretty efficient machine. We're growing that. You know, our goals are to create great content that's educational and valuable to people that are considering Drupal or making Drupal decisions, as well as considering Acquia and how the role Acquia can play in helping them be successful with Drupal. And then creating a sales organization that when you call, you get somebody on the phone and that person can add value and bring something to the table and have a conversation with you that helps you achieve some objective. Our goal is to build a great customer service and a great, very responsive organization. And so, you know, we're monitoring Twitter and other data sources. So when we see a tweet that says, hey, I called Acquia and I got voicemail, or hey, I called Acquia to buy, you know, interested in a new product and couldn't get somebody, you know, everybody notices that, you know. And we had Tom send out his phone number a week ago to somebody. He's like, hey, if you need to talk to somebody, you know, give me a call. I'll be happy to help you. And I think, you know, what we're trying to do is we look at great customer service organizations like Zappos or others and say, we want to be like that inside the Drupal world. And so everybody in sales and marketing sort of really takes that to heart.
And Tom Erickson actually kind of summarized Acquia as a company as a sales and marketing company. What do you think he meant by that? And it seems kind of weird, I guess, to think of Acquia as being boiled down to the essence of that when Acquia does so much. But as your strength in sales and marketing, how do you interpret that?
I think this goes back to my presentation that I gave today around competing with giants, is ultimately we are incredibly confident and bullish about the technology and the community behind Drupal. We think this is an incredibly powerful platform that allows people to really achieve great things on the web and build extraordinary web experiences. And so, you know, when we look at Drupal and we look at Acquia the company, we think the most important thing is spreading the word and evangelizing this. And so when we talk about being a sales and marketing organization and increasingly a marketing-driven organization, it's really to evangelize Drupal. I mean, we build good products and we feel very confident about those products. We also know that the community builds an incredible platform. But really, you know, the thing that's probably one of the most frustrating things for us is when we're outside an event like DrupalCon, outside at other technology events, or Tom's actually speaking at a financial conference, an investment banker conference this week. Do they know about Drupal? Do they understand the value that it can bring? And are they considering that when they're making decisions about their web technologies? And, you know, it's very early days in the Drupal world. And so all of our effort on the sales and marketing side is to evangelize Drupal, because we know if we do that, that'll create opportunities for Acquia as well as the entire Drupal ecosystem.
And finally, what are you like the most excited about, like moving forward with what's on the horizon for Drupal and Acquia?
You know, I think right now, the thing that I'm most excited about right now at DrupalCon and for 2011 is we've introduced a number of products, most notably DevCloud, on our cloud hosting platform that are really designed for professional developers. And I think it's really the first product that we've done that's a great fit for, you know, the primary audience that comes to DrupalCon, that's building sites for clients or professional developers that, you know, they're either using small sites in their organization, but more likely building lots of sites of varying sizes for other organizations. And so we're really, really excited about the fact that we have a product that fits well for the audience that's here. And so, you know, as I think about that, that's from a product side, that's the thing I'm most excited about. And then I think the opportunity around Drupal is really incredible. And I think it's amazing. I've never been in a technology environment where large organizations come in all the time and say, hey, you didn't know, but we have 30 sites on Drupal, or we have 90,000 people using a Drupal on our intranet, or we have, you know, this never happens in other technology markets. So fueling that process and that engine is really, you know, it's really compelling and makes it fun to do this, you know, as a job and as a career here. So those are the things I'm really excited about.
Cool. Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks, Kent.